chose a new identity. And now, as a non-smoker, it would be as appalling for her to smoke as it would be for me. I'm not judging smoking. I just can't stand it. The actual inhalation, you will see me with a cigar once in a blue moon, so you'll go, wait, you said you hate smoking. I hate inhaling, okay? So anyway, with that in mind, regardless of your age, would you agree that a lie that has been imposed upon us, I don't want to ask if you agree this is a lie yet or not. Would you agree that there has been messages that suggest we age and with aging we deteriorate? Okay, so our thinking deteriorates, our energy levels deteriorate, our hormones deteriorate, our T cells deteriorate, all the different things they tell us and whatever, okay? So which is in contradiction to the word if we look at the fact that it says, first of all, just scripturally says our bodies are made now post flood for 120 years. He said it, not me, it's in there, okay? And I don't know where, sorry, you'll have to go research it. And furthermore, we're new creations and we're constantly being revitalized and re-energized. He's our energy, he's our strength. And I'm not saying we're not in a fallen world. I'm not saying that there isn't an inevitable degradation of things here because there's an even better place, right? But the only reason why I wanted to share perspective before going into the application of this stuff is because you all agreed about age, I want to share a quick story that happened to me when I was like 33, I want to say. And I was sitting in an audience, and there was a speaker on stage, and he was sharing about the power of our thinking and our soul, our mind, our will, our emotion, right? And he says, for fun, I really want you to play along. He said, do me a favor and close your eyes. I'm not asking you to do it, but he says, do me a favor, close your eyes, and just take a minute and start to think about 70 years of age. And I would challenge you now for this story. If you need to pick an age later, go for it, seriously. But at that time, for 33, he said 70. And he said, now imagine that person. What do they look like? How are they standing? Imagine they're standing before you. How are they holding their shoulders? Are their shoulders erect? And do they move with big movements? Or are they maybe a little slumped over and move a little slower and not as big? How's their breathing? Is it big or shallow? What are they thinking? What kind of thoughts are they having? What's their inner dialogue? Are they thinking about new adventures? Are they thinking about learning a new language? Are they maybe thinking about a new business or maybe studying something new in school? And he goes on, and he's building. And by the time he gets done, you've got a picture of you really at 70 or at whatever age. And then he says, now open your eyes. When we open our eyes, standing on stage is this 6'2", erect, vivacious guy who turns out is 74 years of age. And he starts to interview the guy. And the guy's just excited, humble, yet just jacked up. And you could see this sparkle in his eye, and he asked him, was he thinking about any new businesses? He said, no. And I'm like, ah, see? He goes, no. And he goes, but there's a reason. And he said, why? And he went on to explain, I'm studying so-and-so in college. He was taking a college course. He goes, then I'm going to put this into practice, and I'm thinking maybe 5, 6, 7 years from now, I'll start a new business in this area. He had a totally different perspective on life. Do you think that affected how he received messages in any area? How he looked at life? How he looked at new relationships? How he looked at new opportunities and new challenges? So I'm just saying your best days are ahead. Otherwise, he would have taken you this morning. He would have taken you in your sleep. There's no other way you're meant to go. Any other way, it's a fallen world. I'm not denying there'll be car crashes. There'll be things that'll happen. There's a war down here. We are victors, and we walk protected. But at the end of the day, if he didn't have more for you, you would be sitting, all of you, instead of just your spirit seated in heavenly places, would be there now. Instead, there's more ahead. And so if that's the case, let's do it free from shame. Let's do it free from condemnation. Let's every day be excited about whatever remnant of that inundation of lies is going. And now all of a sudden, I don't have to be scared or concerned or demotivated by the fact that it's there, because tomorrow's a new day and it's going. And when I let it come to my awareness, it dissipates. So that would only mean as much, tell me if you agree, if your perspective is alive, awake, open to the next day and the new day and the more of tomorrow. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you that each one of us right now get an opportunity to say yes to that and take it in as a gift from you. Thank you that right now, I'm believing, God, that each person in this room right now is literally having new parts of their heart awakened, new parts of their mind awakened, and that every minute of the rest of their life is open to new abounding possibilities, new abounding chances to enjoy love with you, intimacy with you, oneness with you, and then the encountering of the world through that lens and through that experience, relationships through that lens, through that experience. So I thank you, God, for that so much. I thank you for that, and I thank you that we get to enjoy that with you. So in the minutes we have left, let's wrap up with stuff that we talk about a lot here at our church because of the belief in the finished work, and particularly in the Grace Life class. Rest comes up often. We've touched on rest. I'm sure we will again and again. But since we're talking about saying yes to the fact that he was resurrected as me, I'm resurrected in a new life full of new possibilities, rest is how we take hold of that instead of working at it, right? We read from 2 Colossians that we don't have to try and figure it out. There's a mystic is the term that we use it differently in our age today than was used centuries ago. But there's a phrase not for Eastern philosophy. I'm talking about in the body of Christ. There were Christian mystics, and one woman named Madame Guyon from France about 500 years ago was known as a mystic of her time. And she wrote about stillness and what ended up being called quietness. And the church, the Catholic Church, persecuted it. She was thrown in jail for like 14 years for writing the second book that I'm rereading right now on the, called, sorry, the, it's about prayer. I'm going to read a quote from it, and then after, if anyone wants to know the name of the book, I'll get it for you because we're running out of time. So she says, the soul being brought to this place, as I read this, please remember, it's 500 some odd years ago, most of the people hearing what she wrote didn't even hardly have access to the Bible. And they only had access to teachings that said you need a priest, a father to represent you to the creator of all things. There was a separation. They wouldn't know this intimacy that's available to them. So, and they did. We know many did, of course, because Christ, through all generations, has revealed himself. But think of many of the people hearing this. The soul being brought to this place, she's talking about where you're still and resting in him, needs no other preparation than that of repose. For the presence of God during the day, which is the great result of prayer, or rather prayer itself, begins to be intuitive and almost continual. The soul is conscious of a deep inward happiness and feels that God is in it more truly than in itself. It has only one thing to do in order to find God, which is to retire within itself. As soon as the eyes are closed, it finds itself in prayer. She's just defining a place that's right here. It's continual. It's you walking in a continual resurrection. The resurrection that took place is continual. The new creation is continual. She's saying, let this intimate relationship become the truth of your life, and everything else is just encountered from that truth instead of it being the truth and you trying to find time to be with God and pray and worship and so on and so forth. It's a continual place. She goes on to say, it is astonished at this infinite happiness. It is carried on within it a conversation which outward things cannot interrupt. It might be said of this method of prayer, as was said of wisdom, all good things together come to me with her. This place we're talking about, all good things come from this place of you knowing you're a new creation. And tomorrow's a new day. Today is a new day. It's full of possibilities. It's a whole different existence and place to exist from. So next week, we are going to take some time to look at a word that we don't use in our language. It's exalt, E-X-U-L-T, from Romans 5:1. It talks about exalting in the hope of the glory of God, but it also talks about exalting in tribulation. And that word exalt is jubilation. We don't have a word for it. It's not being excited about something. It's just this state that we just opened our minds and our hearts up to, of being literally jubilant all the time, as this abounding anticipation and enthusiasm about what wants to emerge in that moment, because there's always something, and you are the son or daughter that is there to appreciate it, to announce it, to usher it in, to call it forth. All these different things are part of this full life that's intended for us. So we'll jump into that Romans 5:1 and have some fun with that. So excited to spend the morning with you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you do in our hearts and what you've always done, and that we get to walk out of here excited about every minute of the rest of our life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.